on our church theme for the past month, and some change as I look back over the recordings. This year, as we said, we are focusing on to the uttermost Jesus saves. And scripture text is coming from Hebrews, the 7th chapter, in the 25th verse. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And the part of the lesson that I'm going to look at this morning is the back page. We looked at Jesus as the rescuer. He's my keeper. Also that he's my deliverer. And this morning I want to look at the back part that focuses on why did Jesus save me? Why did Jesus choose me out of all of the people that are in the world? One particular passage that comes to mind is in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, that's not in your bulletin, but let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy really quick, because he begins to explain to the nation of Israel why they were chosen. And it's a good passage to kind of keep before ourselves, especially when we're dealing with being different from the world. We're not like the world. I know we all are born the same way because everyone comes into the earth born in the state of the condition of sin. But you should see yourself as different from the world. Lord gave you a mind to come out of sin. When you come into holiness, the Lord gave you a mind to come out of sin. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is here to save the human. It's here to prepare people to go back with Jesus when he comes. We are a sanctified or a separated people. We have to make sure that we work hard. As Leviticus chapter number 10 says, that you put difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. You have to work hard to do that. And Deuteronomy is going to go through and explain that. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 is the correlating scripture for 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter number 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul outlines the doctrines or the teachings of sanctification. A very famous one where it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing." That's the doctrines of sanctification. Not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he goes through and explains to you how these two are different. Bible study on Wednesday talked about that. How we're different. The carnal man is different from that spiritual man. They're contrary. They're not buddies. They're not friends. They are at war or in competition with one another. So in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, Moses is explaining to the people how they are supposed to be different. Now, if you look at the numbers of the sanctified people in comparison to those that are not sanctified, who have not come out of sin, we're always going to be on the lower end. We're going to be what you would call the minority. And that's what chapter number 7 in verse number 1 is explaining when it says the Lord is going to bring them into the land to possess it and cast out many nations before you. And you think about you. When the Lord brought you out of sin, he pulled you out of a lot of stuff, a lot of little things you picked up in that life of sin. You thank the Lord. You came when you did, because if you stayed out there any longer, you would have picked up more. This is why we strive our best to try to tell people in their youth to get your soul saved. Get your soul right with Jesus while you're young so that you can avoid a lot of those heartaches and heartbreaks that go along with growing up and staying in that world of sin. You know, a lot of the things my wife and I, we came into holiness. I came into holiness long before her, a couple of years before her. I think mother brought her in 84. I was in there in 81. My mother had just had my youngest brother, but he was about a year old at that particular point in time. But holiness is all I remember, all that I can remember. I remember when my mother was at Adventist. I can remember that vaguely, because of certain things we couldn't do on certain day, you know, on a certain day of the week. I do remember those kinds of things. But she wasn't she wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist long. She was seeking. And thank the Lord, I can remember when we did come over into holiness, the different things that we would do as young people. And I say all of that to say, we were kind of sheltered from a lot of the things that everybody else was going through. We didn't have, now my dad, I can remember him drinking. And I can remember him drinking, and my mother didn't do what he was doing, because she was in the church, but he did not have a mind to be saved at that particular point in time. I can remember that piece. But it was clearly shown to us, even in our home, that there was a difference between, you know, that which was clean and that which was unclean. So we were sheltered from a lot of that stuff. We had friends in the neighborhood whose parents didn't go to church at all, you know, and we saw how they behaved. We saw the things that they were able to get themselves involved in. And, you know, my mother would just kind of pull us back in. And I can remember for years, we were itch trying to participate in Halloween. And I was able to do it like when I was in kindergarten, because I can remember as a kindergarten, my mom, I dressed up like a little cowboy, and we would march around the school in our outfit, and, you know, we would go to the different houses for to pick up the candy and all of that. And that was doing, even back then, they were having problems with people sabotaging stuff, because they kept telling us, don't touch anybody's, don't get an apple, because if you get an apple, it might have a needle or a blade in it. You know, even from a child, I can remember those kind of little things. And then they had Mr. Yuck, the little green stickers, you know, all these other little different things. So don't touch that, you get sick, you know. So, but I can remember when she stopped us from doing that. Because the children, you know, our little neighborhood friends would go out trick-or-treating and things of that nature, and we wouldn't go. We couldn't go. And we couldn't figure for the longest, you know, why are you doing this to us? Why are you keeping us away from all of these things? But we were sanctified. We didn't know it. We were different. The house was sanctified. Even though we wanted to do what the sinners were doing, she said, no, my house is a sanctified house. And we don't do the things that the world is doing. And I can imagine the frustration and the struggle that she had to deal with, you know, because out of all of the neighborhood and the people that were in the neighborhood, I can remember we were the ones that were called out when it was time to go to church. You know, the children would be out playing. We'd be playing football, freeze tag, and anything else. But then around about 6 o'clock, you all come on in. And I can remember the children would tease us, say, oh, y'all getting ready to go to church. Hurry up, Stephen. It's time for y'all to go to church again. And it was the constant, you know, making us feel bad. Even on Sundays, you know, we would come home from church, and then we would run outside to go get a little playtime in. And then 5 o'clock. Hurry up, come back inside the house. It's time for us to get ready to go. Steve, you got to put the football down. It's time for you to go back to church again, because we had to be back for the youth service. So I can remember all of those things. So as a parent, you can imagine when you're bringing your little children into the house, telling them it's time for you to go to church, I can imagine what kind of feedback we gave her. You know, the resistance. Because she had 3 boys at the time, my oldest brother, it was me and my youngest brother. So I can imagine the resistance that she was experiencing from us, because she was trying to keep us separate, not just herself, but her children, her family. And this was her by herself. And then when my dad came back, You know, he came back thinking that he was going to be able to do what he was doing for a very short period of time. You know, when he came back, he really, the Lord really blessed him really quickly. But I can remember when he first came in the door. I can remember that part because I was remember him sitting at the kitchen table, and I can remember him with a beer right there. And, you know, I can remember sitting there with him, and we just thinking, you know, daddy's home, blah, 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 blah. You know, things are going to be different, but she stayed sanctified. You know, even though he was doing what he was doing, she stayed sanctified. They didn't sit at the kitchen table drinking a beer together. He did his thing, and I'm sure she gave him an earful after he caught in the door, because, you know, he didn't know. He didn't understand that the house was sanctified. You know, he was just bringing his worldly ways back with him from California. But after he got the message, he realized we saw certain things change in our house. You know, because it was a sanctified house. We were different from the world, saints. We could not do what the world was doing. And it was very important to have that kind of a discipline, because Jesus is pulling you out of a lot of stuff and you don't even realize he's doing it. You don't even realize he's taking you out of a lot of toxic stuff, you know, and you have to, when you grow up and you get older, you learn to appreciate these things. You say, well, Jesus was just keeping me out of a bunch of trouble, a bunch of confusion, a bunch of mess. And he was trying to stabilize my mind. You know, he didn't allow me to get involved in this and get involved with that. He allowed me to kind of stay focused. I wasn't one that did a whole lot of little things. You know, Jesus, I'm not saying I was perfect. I was a sinner, you know, and I needed to be saved. And even when the Lord saved me, I needed to understand what Jesus had done for me. How he had pulled me out of this stuff, and I should not be attracted to the things Jesus pulled me out of. And that's what Deuteronomy 7 is talking about when he says, I'm going to bring you amongst all of these nations that are, there are more than them, more of them than it is of you. The Hittites, you can go through and read them.
And the Lord our God shall bring yes. thee into the land.
Yes.
Whither thou goest to possess it. And have passed out many nations before
thee. Yes.
The Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier.
Yeah, that's what I want you to understand. That stuff is stronger than you, saints. You can't fight that stuff by yourself. You need Jesus to help you to overcome those things. Here, the writer is telling you these nations are greater and mightier than you are. Now, remember, when you get the Holy Ghost of Christ in you, then you can say greater is he that is in me than he that is in that world. But when you don't have no Jesus in you, that world is greater than you. That's why you gave in to all of those temptations. That's why you lost all of those battles. Every time you say, I shouldn't do this, and you went on and did it anyway. I shouldn't think this way, but you went on and acted out that thought anyway. Why? Because that stuff was greater and mightier than you are. But when the Lord said, I bring you out, when I give you a mind to come out from that stuff, you've got to do something with it. You just can't let that stuff linger around in your life. Not when you're trying to be sanctified, you need to destroy that stuff. Verse number 2, what does verse number 2 say?
It says that when the Lord our God shall deliver them before thee,
yes.
thou shalt smite them.
Yep.
Utterly destroy
it.
Thou shalt make no covenant with
them. Don't show them things any mercy. Don't try to negotiate with sin. When the Lord bring you out of that stuff, you got to destroy it. You got to destroy it. You got to count it as a loss. You say, well, Elder Scott, I'm a cigarette smoker. Well, you got to count that thing as a loss. You could have bought a whole carton of cigarettes, and them carton of cigarettes could have cost you $200. And when you say, well, the Lord is giving me a mind to be saved, you don't give that carton to somebody else that you know is smoking. No, you destroy it. You destroy it because you don't want anybody else to be doing anything that Jesus brought you out of. You got to utterly destroy that stuff, right? You say, but it was so much money. You got to count it as a loss. Huh? Count it as a loss that you can gain eternal life, right? So that you can gain a relationship with Jesus, right? See, that's all sin is trying to do is rob you from getting you closer to Jesus. It makes you think you can't get along without that stuff. But the Lord is telling you, when I bring this stuff before you, you need to utterly destroy it. Don't make no covenants with it. Huh? Don't try to wean yourself off of these behaviors. You got to cut it off cold turkey. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. You say, oh, I'm going to get the shakes. I'm going to get the chills. Well, you got to know when the shakes come and the chills come, you got to know I got to call on Jesus. Jesus is the power, is the authority to overcome that Adamic nature and all of the things that come along with Adam, right? That's the truth. Utterly destroy it. Show them no covenants. Don't show them no mercy. Yes. That's it. That's truth. Now, people may look around and they may have all little comments. They say, oh, but Elder Scudder, look at your children. Look at your children. Your children are doing this and doing that. But no, they know. We tell them flat out. We want you to if you're going to find a friend, if you're going to find somebody that you want to get into a relationship with, let them be in the church. Why? Because I'm trying to help you avoid a lot of disappointments, a lot of heartaches. Huh? These folk are making promises to you that they cannot keep. Huh? Come on. It's the truth. Anybody that's been out there in that world long enough and you had a relationship, somebody will tell you they love you all day long. They'll tell you they'll be there for you all day long. But some kind of way they're going to break that promise. Huh? They're doing the best they can, but they're going to break that promise. And you're going to say, but I thought you said you loved me. I thought you said I was the most important person to you. Why would you do this to me? Huh? And then they're going to come up with all kinds of excuses. Instead of just coming out saying, I'm a sinner. And I can't help but sin, right? I need to be delivered from that nature, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. But they won't tell you that. They won't tell you the reason why they're doing this stuff. It's because of that wicked nature, that Adamic nature that's inside of them. They won't come out and tell you when they're dressed up looking nice and smelling nice and saying all kind of nice things to you. They won't whisper in your ear that I'm a wretched man. Isn't that what Saul said? Oh, wretched man that I am. I need to be delivered from this body of death. Come on. And this is why we try to get it in their brains. Don't get yourself tied up with them. Don't get yourself tangled up with them. If you find somebody that likes you, tell them they got to come to church. Tell them they got to come to church and get the soul saved first. Before I give you my heart, you got to get your soul saved first. You got to really know what true love is. Jesus is true love. You don't know love until you come to Jesus. You don't know true love until you come to Jesus. You're just talking a bunch of foolish stuff. But you don't know. True love is a sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. Love keeps you up all night long thinking about the welfare of another. Love is a sacrifice, saints. Love teaches you to deny yourself. Huh? Even when you want to go do, love says, no, I can't do because I made a commitment. I made a vow. I made a promise. I made an oath, right? That's the truth. Some folks take that stuff and just throw it on out the window as though it don't even matter. And then they wonder why they got themselves in a bunch of mess, huh? A bunch of chaos. When the Lord done told you from the beginning, don't make no marriages with them folk. Huh? If you sanctified, make sure the person that you make a vow with is sanctified also. At least you know you got something to work with. But if you're trying to live holy and they not, you got a problem, right? You got a problem from the start. You got a problem from the start. And Lord help you, if you start having children, huh? Here you want to, you sanctified and they not. You say, I want to take the kids to church. They say, no. You got a problem. I don't want to listen to this in my home. Well, they can listen to whatever they want to listen to. Here you come in the house having a good time serving Jesus. And they in the middle of the floor shaking. From the young to the old. And here you is trying to keep your mind on Jesus. See, the Lord said, don't make no marriages with them folk.
Jesus.
Don't make no marriages with them folks. Leave them people alone. Huh? Come on, is this the truth? This is not it. This is not me talking. The Lord told you don't make no marriages with them folk. And he's going to tell you why. Keep going. I don't see my daughter. That's my child. That's my baby. And the same is true for my son. I raised them up in the way that they should go. Huh? Don't think I get joy out of it. I realize they're grown and they can make their own choices and decisions. But you best believe I'm in their ear all the time. And I'm telling them no good is going to come from this. No good is going to come from this. They need to be saved. Just like you need to be saved, they need to be saved. Why? Because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get yourself into situations. And then you're going to sit up there and cry, why me? Huh? See, that's what sin do to you. Sin will get you out there on that limb and cut you right off. And then it'll leave you out there by yourself. And you'll be sitting up there saying, why me? The Lord said, I tried to warn you. I tried to help you to prevent from going down that path, right? To avoid a whole lot of heartache. Huh? Come on. I know it seems hard. Yeah, it was hard. When we were coming up, the prom was a big thing. Yeah, prom was a big thing. Everybody wanted to go to the prom. But when you was in holiness, you didn't go to no prom. Yeah, you didn't go to no prom. There wasn't no dressing up. Wasn't no going out. No. Was you in holiness? You didn't do any of those things. Why didn't you do any of those things? Because those that were in that world knew that after you got dressed up, they weren't going to play no sanctified music. Huh? They were going to put you into an environment where your flesh was going to be crawling. Huh? And see, I knew, you all may not know, but I knew what went on in prom. We was going to be doing something that night. Huh? Virgin or no virgin. I was going to see something I ain't never seen before. Huh? We were going to go to the prom children, but we were going to leave as adults. Huh? That's what you did at the prom. Prom wasn't about no clothes. It was about you seeing and touching and feeling and doing things you never did before. You can play that hocus pocus foolishness with me if you want. I knew what they did at the prom. As fellas, we knew what we talked about. Who you taking? What you going to do? You mean to tell me you going to do? Man, you got it tonight, brother. So you sure you can handle all that? See, that was the foolish talk. Whole lot of unexpected babies popped up at the prom. Because we were going, people were going into foolishness. They didn't know any of those kinds of things. You know, I'm trying to help you, saints. The Lord is trying to prevent you from going down paths. You don't have to go there. Huh? Or you stop popping up babies saying, I don't know what to do. Well, you're doing grown folks stuff. You're doing stuff that people are supposed to plan to do, right? Say, I ain't got no money to take care of this child. Well, you shouldn't have been doing grown folks stuff. Huh? Come on, that's the truth, saints. The Lord told you don't make no marriages with them. Don't give your daughters. See, if I let my child go, I'm giving my daughter. Huh? I'm giving my son away to this stuff. Huh? They may not like me. They may tell me I'm unfair. But the last thing I want to do is open up the door of hell and tell them to go into it. I'm doing my best to keep my children out of hell. Huh? Come on, they may not understand everything right now, but after a while, they'll get it. They will get it by and by. They'll see just what daddy and mama was trying to do all of their life. I was trying to avoid heartache for you, right? And you should be doing the same. Don't give your sons and your daughters to it. Come on, keep me going, keep me moving. What will they do?
They will turn away.
Huh? Isn't that the truth? See, you got somebody that's an unbeliever that don't believe in Jesus. Now, while you ain't paying attention, they talking. They indoctrinating. And see, all your children know is Jesus. All your children know is Jesus and doing what's right. But then when you let them mix and dabble with people that do not know Jesus, they talking into their head. And they're trying to show them another way, an alternative lifestyle, different from the light that you have led before them, trying to make it look like it's better. Come on. Isn't that what Lot said? Lot said, I'm going to leave you, Abraham. Why? Because Sodom, Gomorrah, is well watered. It's green. It's plush. He could not see that it was a group of people that Jesus was against. Jesus was preparing to destroy them, right? Oh, yeah. Jesus was preparing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And little did Lot know, Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man that took his righteous family into an ungodly environment. Come on. Come on. Let's go on over there. Go on over to Peter really quick, because I didn't intend to go there, but I want you to see it. What is that? 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 and start at verse number 4. Yes.
Spared not the angels that...
Look at Lucifer. Lucifer was an angelic being. He was an archangel. But look what Jesus did. When Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High God, God kicked him down. And not just him, every angelic being that followed right behind him, they lost their position. Oh, yes, they did. That's why when Lucifer saw the creature that God formed from the dust of the earth and put his breath in that creature, Lucifer could not understand. Why do you love this creature so much? Even after I tempted him, after I tricked him, after I gave him all of these wrong lies and he sinned, Lucifer looked. When they ate that fruit, Lucifer said, God's going to kill him now. He said it was true. They did die, but Lucifer couldn't understand. Why in the world did they die? But he let them keep on living. And then after they died, why did he go and start talking to them? Why didn't he do them the way he did us? Why? Because the Lord said he loved them. He loved them. He put that human in a position to be redeemed. Angels could not be redeemed. And they looked into this, trying to understand the depth of his love towards this creature, right? Is that true? In the depths of love towards this creature. Why? Because the angel said, when we messed up, he cut us off. But when they messed up, he keep on working with them. He keep on showing them compassion. When sin beats them down, he keep right on coming back to them. Picking them up, healing them, forgiving them. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? He keep on picking you up, forgiving you, healing you over and over again. That's why I tell you, you stick with this salvation long enough, you really gonna know what it's like for Jesus to love you. Don't think you got like this overnight. I'm not no work overnight. I've been at this over 30 something years. What you're seeing is 30 years of loving kindness shown by a merciful God, right? He's been helping me over and over again. Yeah, I fell down, but the Lord would just be right there working with me. He put me around a group of people that love me. Not saints that talk bad about me. Saints that love me. Love me in all of my errors. Love me in all of my shortcomings. Tried to help me to see you could be so much more than this. I remember my dad. The Lord gave him that thing, and he just kept telling the saints that over and over again, down through the years. Saints don't live beneath your privilege. And I kept trying to figure out why would he keep saying this? Because he could see people were not appreciating what Jesus had brought them out of. Don't live beneath the privilege. You got direct access. Come on, saints. You're not like them folk in the hospital beds that don't know who Jesus is. You got direct access. You can call him any time of day, and he will be He'll be right there to answer every prayer. Huh? You don't have to worry about nobody laying hands on you. You can talk to Jesus right for yourself. And he lets you know, I'm right there. He come by and quicken your body. Why does he do that? To let you know, I am right there. That's why I tell you, your Holy Ghost is no good if you don't feel Jesus. You have to feel Jesus for yourself. That's why we tell you, keep on calling him until he quickens you, right? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in Jesus. You need to keep on calling him until he quickens you. Stop being satisfied seeing the smoke. Huh? Come on, what did we learn this morning? Smoke is powerful. The odor is powerful. But even though you see smoke, that don't mean it's no fire. Huh? Stop being satisfied with feeling and smelling smoke. You want to call Jesus until you see some fire. I want to see a flame. I want to see a flame. A flame where I want it to rest on me, right? I want the flame to rest on me. Why? Because I need the Lord to burn up all that stuff. All that ungodly stuff. All that stuff that don't belong inside of me. The fire take care of it all, right? That's right, fire take care of it all. Yeah, saints. See, a lot of folk have been persuaded to get up off the altar because somebody smelt some smoke. Somebody saw a little bit of steam. And then nobody tell them, you need to call them a little bit more. Call them a little bit more until when? Until you speak in other tongues as Jesus gives the utterance. You don't want to be saying the boom, 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 boom. Nah, you need Jesus to get in control of your tongue. A member of your body you have no control of, right? That's true. Get the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to. The Lord will cut that fountain off. Remember what we talked about on Wednesday? Fountain don't bring forth both sweet and bitter. It's either one or the other. When you get the Holy Ghost cuts off the bitterness. It cuts off that evil tongue. And it lets righteousness flow, right? Holy Ghost does that. Holy Ghost lets righteousness flow out of you. Even when you would raise your voice. Even when you would get beside yourself. Holy Ghost gives you control. It's like the man at that horse. Holy Ghost see you going down a path you shouldn't go. Holy Ghost says, whoa. You be like, whoa. Something in me. Something within me keeps me from going in paths I should not go in, right? Role of the Holy Ghost is to lead and guide you into what all truth, right? That's his role. It's a little bit more than being happy in here. You need the Holy Ghost to keep you out there when that devil is coming your way. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to stand up inside of you and to walk up and down in your temple. To bring control over you. Right? To teach you how to discipline yourself. Right? Temperance is self-control. But you ain't got no Holy Ghost. You have no control. You're going to say anything. You're going to do anything. You're going to go anywhere. Be in anything. And you're going to be a sorry individual. Because every time you turn around, all you're going to be saying is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When are you going to get sick of being sorry? When are you going to get enough unction inside of you to say, I need Jesus to help me to overcome this no good thing, right? The will to do it is there. But how to perform it, how to bring it into action, I don't find it. When I search my life, I find another law in my members that when I would do good, evil is where? It's not you, it's in me. Evil is present with me, right? Things I would do, I don't do it. Things I wouldn't do, I keep on doing it. That writer said, who is going to deliver me from this body of death? This body is death.
if I leave you to yourself, Jesus said all you're going to do is keep on sinning, right? I have to come inside of you. I have to come inside of you and irritate you. Oh, yeah. When the Holy Ghost comes in, it irritates that natural man. That natural man said, you done let somebody in this house to mess up my whole program. Here I took ownership over this territory. Then you opened up the window. You unlocked the door. Now you got this righteous seed walking up and down inside of you, bringing your brain into captivity. Telling you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. Come on. You got that righteous spirit inside of you that keep reminding you, if you do it, you're going to hell. Come on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, righteous go beyond jail. You know, see, the world being scared of jail. They'd be scared of this. But when you get the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost put in your mind, you're going to go right past jail and you're going straight to hell. And you got to say to yourself, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell, right?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, thank you.
I don't want to go there. That ain't for me. Come on. Come on. Keep me moving. Those angels that sinned. Yes.
Angels that sinned but cast them down to hell.
Yes, he did.
Them into chains.
So hold up. If the Lord sent them to hell, what you think he going to do to you? After he done showed you loving kindness, and you done thumb your nose up at him, and you say, Lord, I don't want nothing to do with this, he's going to send you right where you desire to be at, right? If he did not spare those angels, Hebrews said the same thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Every word that was spoken by the angels, Lord, brought that word to pass, right? That's the truth. Come on, read me a little more.
Deliver them into chains of darkness.
Yes. Yes.
And spare not the old world. Yep. But save Noah, the eighth person.
Yep.
Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Yep.
And turning the cities of Sodom
and Gomorrah hold up, but how did Lot see it? Lot said it was well watered. It was plush. A lot of greenery there. Certainly them folk know what they're doing because it looks good. And I'm getting sick of following Abraham and all of these rocks and thorns and thistles. I'm getting sick of following him because he thinks he's the only one that can lead us. I don't agree with him, and my people don't agree with him. He thought he was going to make Abraham nervous because he said, either you follow me or I'm going to leave you. Abraham said, the Lord gave me the word. Lord didn't give you the word, Lot. Lord gave me the word. Lord told me to get thee out of my country and my kindred. And I obeyed Jesus. You said you wanted to follow me, but the Lord gave me the word, right? That's the truth. That's how I can look at each and every one of you and tell you flat-footed. You can leave here if you want here. You can leave and take every soul with you. You say, Elder Scudder, what are you going to do? I'm going to stand right here. Why? Because the Lord gave me this word. The Lord gave me this word. And he's going to hold me accountable to it. He ain't going to hold you to it. He's going to hold me. He told me to preach the word, right? Isn't that the truth? Yeah, sometimes I'm tired. I don't feel like doing it. But Lord told me, whether you feel like doing it or not, I put my word in you. Isn't that the truth? That's what I'm trying to tell you. When the Lord make you a preacher, you can't be still. You can't be content. He put the word inside of you. That word be like a flame of fire. It burns till you get it out of you. Then when you get it out of you, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you realize he ain't done yet. Why? Because he put another flame inside of him. You say, oh, Lord, what else do I have to tell him? He said, I'm going to show you some stuff. And when I show it to you, you got to speak on it. Don't you hold your tongue. Speak on it. say it with conviction. Why, one writer said, pay no attention to their faces. Pay no. I see your lip getting tight. When I tell you stuff you don't want to hear, I see your lip getting all tight with me. But you better thank the Lord. The Lord put you someplace where he is. Why? Because I pay no attention to your face. I give you what thus saith the Lord, right? Now it's up to you to take it. You can take it and see the blessings of Jesus. See, when you take the Lord's word, the Lord show you. He backs his word up. After you do what the Lord tell you in his word, you feel so good. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I would have missed all of this if I would have been rebellious to his word, right? But when I do what Jesus tell me to do, he back his word right on up. And he let me see it. He let me see that he right there. Didn't he tell you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? He stands up like a natural man. He just pop in and pop out. Because he let you know I'm right there with you. Even though it don't seem like it, he let you know I'm right there with you. And when you can stand flat footed and say, Jesus, all I'm doing is walking on your word. I'm following behind what your word says, Jesus. I'm not leaving to my own understanding. I'm taking you at your word, Jesus. And he blesses you each and every time. But there is a group of people that are going to fight the Lord's word, that are going to be resistant, that are going to be rebellious. Who is rebellious? That old Lot. That old Lot, he chose a city that Jesus was not in. Come on, y'all understand this? Come on. It looked like the blessings of the Lord was there. But the Lord says, I am not there. How do you know Jesus was not there? When Abraham had a conversation with him, he said, Lord, if it be 50 there, please spare the city. Lord said, if you can find 50, I'll spare the city. Don't you realize that number went down to one? Lord, Abraham said, Lord, if you find one, Lord said, I won't spare it. If you can just find one. Saints, I'm trying to let you know, hold on. Don't you let go of Jesus. You don't know the judgments of the Lord. He's holding back his wrath because of you, right? Y'all understand this? You may look like you're by yourself, but the Lord is right there. He's holding back his wrath because of you.
Jesus.
He's pouring out his blessing because of you. It ain't that other ungodly for a person. It's because of you. You haven't denied his name. But what's going to happen to them, Jesus, when they get from up under my covering, when they lose their attachment to me? Come on, go ask Sodom and Gomorrah. When the Lord saw Lot, come on, and don't you think, because Lot was there, he was described as being righteous. Because Abraham asked the question, if you find one, I will spare the city. And he could not even find one. Meaning when the Lord looked at Lot, Lot had lost his righteousness. Where was Lot? Lot was in the city. Lot was in the city. And who had the eyes on the city? The Almighty God. He could not find one. And Lot was in the city. But why didn't the Lord destroy the city if Lot wasn't righteous? Because of his love for Abraham. Y'all understand that? The Lord, Abraham interceded on the benefit of Lot. Come on, y'all understand this? Abraham prayed. He had a relationship with Jesus just that way, that the Lord held back his wrath because of the prayer of a righteous man. How much more does Jesus do for you on your behalf? You don't think when the Lord look at your unrighteous family members, he's sick of them? He want to pour out his wrath on them? But because you keep on crying, you keep on asking the Lord, be merciful, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord said, I'm going to give him a little bit more time. But he won't side with you forever. He's not going to put up with you forever. That's why we sing that song. That's right, brother. Lord, give me a little bit more time to pray. Why? Because I know if the Lord stopped, if he stopped it, you think Israel and Gaza is a mess.
Hallelujah.
You think that's a mess.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. You haven't seen the wrath of Jesus. Jesus don't need no missiles to show you his wrath. Y'all understand that? Lord can make the very ground we stand on. It can all shift. Y'all understand that? And it's nothing we can do. We start running. Help! Help! Lord can make the very ground we stand on. Swallow you up right where you are. Lord can make that little ticker in your chest. Just stop. Before the people can get here. They ask you, how long have you been down? We've been working on him, working on him. He ain't breathing. They'll look at you and say, he's brain dead. If we get a beat, he's brain dead.
Don't you know?
I'm trying to tell you so you can understand what you're working with. All right, come on. I gotta get ready. I gotta let y'all go. But I just want to get this one thought out of my head.
The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, yes. The ashes condemned them with an overthrow.
Yes.
Making them an example.
What did Jesus make them? Come on, saints. I told you all yesterday at the dinner table. Seems like more we pray and more we fast, Sodom is walking down the street. Sodom is walking down the street and it's bold. I see more rainbows than I saw in a little bit. These folk are letting you know I'm gay and I'm happy. I am gay and I'm happy. And ain't nothing you can do about it. They done mocked off the territory. Y'all know it's a place in our city. It's spaces in our city that say it's their territory. They done mocked the streets up. They put the government, your tax dollars, have put up signs. Just like you pay for street signs, your tax dollars have put up signs to let you know this is their space. And the Lord called it an abomination. He said, well, it's got a, why wouldn't the Lord destroy it? Because the righteous are still here. The righteous are still praying. Yes, we are. We are still praying. I'm trying to tell you, saints, you don't even realize. That's why you got to be careful. That's why I don't give my money for donations to charity just to anybody. Because Sister Scudder will tell you she worked at a nonprofit that was sanctioned for them, sanctioned for homosexual activity. And they spent all of their donations to help them do more sinful things, ungodly things, Y'all understand it? Here you giving donations to help. The world is helping them sin. Telling them I'm going to give you more money to sin. You don't even realize the Lord done told you the wage of sin is death. The devil is setting them up to kill them. You don't know these safe zones? You all talked to Brother Pendleton. He was out there. Places where children should be able to go play at, playgrounds. Government, law officers, law enforcement knows that these people have taken over these spaces and have them, they're like safe zones for them to get high. Needles and stuff all over the place. Government, we don't want you to use dirty needles, Here goes some more needles. And when you pass out, we're going to give you a little spray to bring you back. Government, can you go? Your tax dollars. Sister asked me the other day, do I vote? Yes, I vote. You ain't going to like the way I vote either. Because I ain't voting for those you think I vote for. I don't have any political affiliation. Huh? But no, because all of them are sinners. All of them are sophisticated liars. Huh? I'm as independent can be. They better be glad I can't write on the ballot Jesus. Because you best believe that's whose name. President of the United States, Jesus Christ. House of Representatives, Jesus Christ. What about the other folks? All of them are sinners. All of them are liars. Once they get in the office, they don't know who you are. They're not thinking about you. They're not. You think because they take a picture with you, you that buddy. Come on into my office and see me anytime. As soon as you come in, such and such, let them on in. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah. We're going to work that out as soon as you get out. Oh, she get on my nerves. Every time you turn around, she keep coming over here. Why do you keep letting her in, man? Because she's the one that vote for me. And she got a whole lot of family members. You don't even know. She control that whole neighborhood. But it was up to me, man. I'd be so glad when she gets sick and can't come up in here no more. Then when their numbers is low, guess whose house they at? Right at your house. Can you talk to your friends for me? He goes to pie, baby. I know you love his pie. This is your favorite pie. He's indeed never. As soon as he get outside, spitting that pie right out. Talking about you like a dog. Did you see all the roaches? Don't want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with you. Come on. Did I? Come on. Yes. Yes. What did Lot do? He was vexed. In other words, he made himself sick. Not doing what? Separating himself. He thought he could get away but just lingering with them. But it made him what? Sick. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They
seeing and hearing, that's his righteous soul from day to day.
Yes. So you see what Lot ended up doing? He lost his righteous nature by being among them. That's why when you go back over to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, get me back over there really quick. I got like 2 minutes. I'm not going to hold you long. It said, don't let them marry your sons and don't let them give your daughters over there to them. Because they're going to turn them away from you. Yes. Serve other gods, right? What will the anger of the Lord be? It's going to be kindled against them. Yes.
With them. You shall destroy their altar, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their
graven
images.
That's right. Why do we do these things, saints? Because we're what? We are a holy people, right?
The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are from the face of the earth.
That's right. Keep going.
The Lord did not set his love upon you. Nor choose you because
you were great in numbers. Yep.
Than any people.
Yep.
Well, you were the
few. You were the what? You were the least, saints. Mm-hmm. When the world looked at you, you weren't somebody that they admired. They didn't put you up on no pedestal. You weren't somebody in the neighborhood that the people were saying, everybody need to be like you. Mm-hmm. You were the least of it. Bottom of the barrel. He said, I just got to, not me. keep going. Why are you here? Because Jesus did what? He loved the saints. He has sworn to our fathers. Yep. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's why you're here, saints. Yeah, you can answer the. That's why I had you all go over to Deuteronomy, because I wanted you to be able to answer that question on the back of your bulletin. You see the question on the back of your bulletin? I didn't get away from it. I know sometimes y'all think y'all just got to go on way around the mulberry bush, but no, my brain worked real good. I had a question on the back of that bulletin, and you see the question that was on the back of that bulletin. What did that question say? Why did Jesus do what? And you should be able to answer based upon what Deuteronomy said, because he did what? He loved you. He loved you, saints. Don't think Satan loves you more than Jesus loves you. Satan can't love you. Satan don't know love. All he knows is death. Satan is a sick creature. Y'all understand that? Satan is sick. And unfortunately, there's no medicine to cure him. There's nothing in the earth that can cure that devil. There's nothing in the heavens that can cure him. He is what you call a fallen angel. Huh? And angels cannot be what? Redeemed. Right? That's the difference between you and that angel that you call yourself worshiping. You know how people be having them angels on their curios and all other kinds of, oh, the angel's so pretty. Nah. Angels are intended to serve the righteous, right? They're not intended to be up on your cabinet. Huh? You got the wrong image of them anyway. You thinking they got wings and all this other kind of foolishness. Angels are ministering spirits. Huh? I need an angel to get inside of you to help me when I'm going through, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. All right, we trust y'all got something out the word. How had the word in your heart that you